Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much, not only for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes, but my thanks also to another donor to Catholic Sports Radio, whose name I will be revealing during this episode. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net, which has everything from a built-in player to hear each episode there, links to various podcast platforms where you can listen and subscribe slash follow, logos to click on to follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Plus, the website also has a bio about me, links to interviews where I have been the guest, and even an area called For Listeners, where you can submit prayer requests. I feel like a lot of people, maybe more so than usual, have been asking me lately to pray for them or someone that they know. We all certainly spend a lot of time in prayer for people who are in need, but it's also important to give prayers of thanksgiving for the wide array of blessings that we have. If you listen to Catholic Sports Radio regularly, you know that I am very grateful to Merchantside Marketing Group for the great work that they did in building the website for this ministry. They are not a sponsor. They don't pay me to talk about them. I just really appreciate all that they did to give Catholic Sports Radio a great presence on the web. And I know their owner, he's a strong Christian, and I believe in telling other people about someone that might be able to help them. It might be you, it might be someone you know who has a business, a product, or a service that could use some professional help in terms of marketing and a strong online presence. Merchantside Marketing Group can even incorporate your own appointment booking system, as simple or as sophisticated as you need, with no additional fees to you ever. Or if you prefer using a specialized industry software, then they can integrate your existing software into your website so it's smooth. Use one of Merchantside Marketing Group's ads on CatholicSportsRadio.net to go over to their website and get in touch. And of course, do be sure to let them know you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. From the time that someone first starts playing sports at a very young age, they are trained to listen to their coach. There's a lot of teaching, a lot of strategy, a lot of wisdom that is shared. Even at the highest levels, we see, for example, NFL players huddled around their specialty coach, say a receivers coach or a defensive backs coach, or NHL players who during a timeout are hearing from an assistant coach who handles the power play. The fact is, there is always a lot that can still be learned from hearing what these coaches have to say to them. Similarly, to grow in our faith life, we need to avail ourselves to the Holy Spirit if we are to truly hear and receive the Word of God and prosper. In the New Testament, we read in chapter 4 of Mark's Gospel, where Jesus was teaching in parables, and in verse 24 it says, "He also told them, 'Take care what you hear. The measure with which you measure will be measured out to you, and still more will be given to you.'" Friends, let us all heed these words and not just listen when the word is professed on Sunday in church, but strive to hear the teachings of Jesus in all that we do every day. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a current candidate for the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame Class of 2022. He is the Referee Development Performance Director for NBA Referee Operations, following a career as an NBA official from 1977 to 2016, officiating more than 2,500 regular season games and a record 344 playoff games. 50 of those playoff games were in the finals. In the all-time NBA referee rankings, he is first in playoff games, finals game sevens, and total games, plus he is tied for first in total seasons officiated. Along the way, he also officiated three All-Star games and even worked the McDonald's Championship in Germany in 1993. He is also in three Halls of Fame. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Joey Crawford.
Thank you very, very much, Bruce. That was a heck of a introduction. I didn't realize I did all that crap. And thank you for having me and everybody that's listening. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I'm thrilled to have you, Joey.
Thank you.
For those that know the TV show that Will Smith starred in, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the theme song includes the lyrics, "West Philadelphia, born and raised, on the playground is where I spent most of my days." And Joey, in your case, it can almost be said that that applies to you?
It did. When I started refereeing, I was 18 years old, and I don't think there was a playground or a grade school, high school that I didn't go to. I was just always looking to get better. I wanted to be an NBA ref, and I knew that that's what I had to do, is just keep working games. And I was all over Philly, the suburbs. I was everywhere, and I just was a very lucky guy that the people, you know, we're talking about 1970, and there were so many basketball leagues around Philadelphia, and I was just lucky that they gave me the games, and I went everywhere. I just wanted to be the best referee I could possibly be, but that is appropriate towards me.
Well, and let's also remember that you were born in a city where there was an NBA team. In fact, born in Philadelphia, and when you were 6 years old, your family moved. Share with the audience about your family size, how many siblings you had, and the Catholic schools that you went to.
Yes, I'd love to talk about that. There's my two brothers and my sister, and back in the day, when my father came back from the war, we lived, and at one time, Bruce, it was the largest Catholic school in America.
Wow.
The Most Blessed in Philly, yeah. It was huge. And we were there. We lived on Fraser Street, which was right across the street from it. And I was only an infant. I was the baby. And my father, when he came back from the war, he was a street guy, a tough guy. He wasn't educated. And he was pursuing baseball, but it was way different back then. You know, there was only 8 teams, and it wasn't like today where you could go on the computer and find out about umpires. So he made the big leagues in 1956.
Hmm.
And we moved from Philly to the suburbs and went to St. Pius X. My brothers went to St. Pius X. They went to, when they were in high school, went to Bonner. Then I went to Cardinal O'Hara. My sister went to Archbishop Prendergast. We were that family, you know? So it was a tremendous upbringing. And it was fabulous.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
We didn't even know that there was any other religion.
We
thought everybody was Catholic. In my first grade, we were talking about this at my 50th reunion. We had 100 kids actually in the class.
Hmm.
And people look at me and they go, "You're kidding." I said, "No." And we were talking about it that night at the reunion, and one of the kids that graduated with me, she said, "Joe, when we got to second grade, they split it. We were 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "But do you know why there was 100 of us in that class?" I said, "No, I have no idea." She told me, she said, "Those tiny seats, we could fit in them." And remember the seats back, Bruce, I don't know how old, you know, if your school and back it is. They had the runners. And they could put us all in these seats because we were so little. See? And I went, "Wow." There's a method to the madness. And I had no idea until that night why we had 100 kids in the classroom. Could you imagine?
Amazing. Amazing. No, I can't imagine.
It really is amazing.
Well, just sticking with your family before we move on, you started to talk about your dad, but share with the audience about the officiating that actually two other members of your family did.
Yeah. I'd love to. My dad made the big leagues in 56. He lied about his age. He told them he was much younger than what he was, but he was 39 when he got in the big leagues. And a great story. He was doing $2 games around the Philly area. Back in those days, the person that was the a teacher, a coach, they were a big deal in the community. So he was working games in the Catholic League in Philly. He worked a number of games at Roman Catholic. I think it's one of the oldest Catholic high schools in America. And the guy's name was Goldie Graham, was the manager of their high school team. And he loved the way my father umpired. And after a number of games, back then you communicated obviously with by letter, he wrote a letter to a guy, Johnny Stevens, who was an American League umpire. And by the way, Bruce, this is a wild, wild story. Steve Javy's godfather, who refereed with me for years in the NBA, who's now a deacon in the Catholic Church. So, sight unseen, Goldie tells Johnny Stevens how good my father is. Sight unseen, Johnny writes a letter to the president of the New York, Pennsylvania A-ball. He was the commissioner of the league.
Wow.
And he said, I got this guy, Shag Crawford. He lives in Philly. Sight unseen, they send my father a 3-month contract. And he left, Bruce. He told my mother, he said, I'm going to go umpire. She said, you're what? He said, I'm going to go umpire. And he left.
Wow.
And I was the infant, and I've, you know, sister, two brothers. And later in my dad's life, because this always bothered me, and I never had the conversation with him, I said to him, Dad, why would you do that? He said, what do you mean, why would I do it? He said, I did it for you guys. I said, you didn't know you were going to make the big leagues? I said, how many people make the big leagues as an umpire? He said, I knew I was going to make it. And 4 years later, Bruce, he made it.
Wow.
So he was in the big leagues. And it's fascinating. And my other brother was in the major leagues for 35 years. Jerry lives in Florida now. He had a tremendous career. He was a fabulous umpire. But, you know, he just, my brother and I, we learned from our father about officiating. He was obsessed with it, and it became an obsession with us. So I was very lucky being born in the city that I was born. And you picked that up because of the Sixers having a team back in the day, and it was called the Warriors back in the day. And Philly was always a pro basketball city. I was lucky with that, and I was lucky that my father was an umpire, and the interest was there. Because what we did, Bruce, when he took us to a sporting event, we talked about officials. So if he took me to a basketball game, a pro basketball game, he mentioned the officials of that day, Mendy Rudolph, Earl Strom, and Joe Gachou, and he talked about them. And if we went to a boxing match, which was big back in those days, and my father was a big fan, he would talk about the refs. He knew who they were.
Interesting.
Yeah, and if you were interested in it and you talked to him about it, then what you did, I know what I did and what my brother did, when I watched the game, I watched the refs. That's what I did.
Yeah.
And I became interested in it, and it was awesome.
Well, yeah, and in fact, we hear a good amount of references on this show by guests who talk about CYO. And we heard you talk about St. Pius the 10th grade school. You attended Cardinal O'Hara High School. And then lo and behold, it was that, the Catholic Youth Organization, where you first got the opportunity to begin what would end up being a long career that you were blessed to spend entirely in officiating basketball.
Yes, the CYO, I'll never forget my first game. It was at St. Leonard's. And Philadelphia is like, I think, 36th in Market. An older gentleman was teaching me how to referee. And we went down there, and I worked 13 CYO basketball games Saturday and Sunday. And he taught me, you know, where to stand and, you know, putting your fist up for a foul, and all the elementary things that referees do. But CYO basketball, for me, it was a godsend. That's where I learned. The players back then, the high schools were so huge that only the really best players made the high school teams. But there were so many, there were so many other good players looking for places to play, and I was reffing them until I, you know, obviously got some experience, and then I would take the state test and I would do high school ball.
Okay.
But those CYO games, I was working CYO basketball. You may not, this is awesome. I was working CYO basketball up until the year before I went into the NBA. I was still working it. I went into the NBA in 77. I was working CYO games in 76. To this day, Bruce, you're going to laugh. I could be sitting with my wife somewhere or eating somewhere or in the airport or whatever, and somebody will come up to me. Crawford? And I get a little leery because I don't know, you know what the guy, I go, yeah, I am. He says, a person would say, you refereed me at St. Dorothy's.
Wow.
Back in the early 70s, I said, yeah, I probably did.
Wow, amazing.
Because I worked hundreds of those games. Yeah. I mean, probably thousands.
I wonder, as you started to really get a foothold in officiating professionally, and I'm talking now about starting out in 1973 with the Eastern Basketball Association, and for the audience, that's the league known as the CBA, the Continental Basketball Association. Joey, how much time were you spending in prayer, maybe asking God for his favor on this career that you obviously wanted to pursue? And for that matter, how much were or weren't you able to attend Mass regularly, what with all the travel that's required for game officials as you're getting started into this Eastern Basketball Association back then?
That's a great question. I didn't pray enough, I could tell you that. I think back in that, not I think, I know, back in those days when 73 and when I was pursuing the league, I would pray, but I wasn't in tune to my religion. I would go to Mass on Sundays. I would go to Mass on Sundays. My father, where we were raised, my father always went to Mass on Sundays. And I'm assuming because I saw that, I did also.
Yeah.
But as far as being in tune into my religion, I was not, to be very, very frank. I didn't really get to appreciate my faith later in life, where I actually, I guess, to be, again, I hate using the expression, but I'm going to use it. To be very frank, I figured it out that there was importance in other things. And I was going through some trials and tribulations. And it would be the early 70s, mid-70s, in my personal life and in my work life. And I think that's when I actually got serious. I use that word all the time. I got serious about my faith.
Well, and for the audience, I want to pull out two keys in what Joey just said. Number one is he said he saw his dad going to Mass all the time. So for those of you in the audience who are hearing him say that, if you're a parent, that's how much influence you have over your children. That's how much they're watching what you're doing, even though it may seem routine to you. I'm just going to Mass on Sunday. Right, but your kids are watching. And the second key that I want to pull out of that is you say, why are you asking Joey that? Was he in prayer or he's getting his career started? And we've heard guests on the show before say that, no, I really got so caught up in my career. I was trying to get started as a coach, as a referee, as a whatever position. And so we do hear these stories on here, and they're very relatable because we all get distractions in our life. But you always hear these guests that say, like Joey's starting to tell us, how something did bring them back or closer or deeper in their faith. Similar question, Joey. In 1977, at the age of just 26 years old, you were hired by the NBA. So does the glitz and glamour, not to mention the hectic schedule, lend itself to falling away from practicing your faith regularly? Or were you able to manage to keep up with Mass and receiving the sacraments, etc., now that you're working in the NBA?
No, I fell off because you're waking up on a Sunday and say you have a Saturday game. You couldn't get the mass on Saturday because you got the game. Now you wake up Sunday and you're flying from L.A. to Portland, and you don't.
Wow.
And was there that, and I'm not making excuses. What it was pure laziness, to be honest with you. You're just lazy. You're absolutely exhausted from the games, from the flying and the whole nine yards. And so you're making excuses. And again, as my career evolved, I know that I got too big for my britches in around those 80s, 90s days, and maybe reading some of the clips about how good I was as a ref and all that crap. And I think I didn't give God and his true respect. I've had this conversation numerous times, and especially with my buddy Steve Jabby. And again, as it evolves, you finally figure it out. You know, at least I did. I was lucky enough to figure it out. You know, and I say that respectfully. I really do.
Well, and I want to stick with what you just said, because we're going to come back around to that when you say that you start reading the clips and it really starts to go to your head. So let's hold on to that thought, and I'm going to come back to it. But before Joe shares even more with us, I want to look back at what Lauren Seowich shared on last week's episode. And by the way, even before I mention that, this is twice now that Joey Crawford has mentioned Steve Jabby, who was a longtime NBA referee and now is a deacon in the Catholic Church. He was a guest on this show back on episode 124. So folks, if you never heard my conversation with Steve Jabby, do go back and listen to episode 124. But as it relates to Lauren Seowich, she was on last week's episode. She is a pro soccer player, and she gave some powerful testimony during our conversation on episode 156. So same thing, do go back and listen to that if you didn't already hear it. When you do, you'll hear me thanking someone who had made a financial contribution to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, and I'm blessed to be able to report similar news here on episode 157 with Joey Crawford. 2 weeks ago, on episode 155, my guest was Linda Simino, and she too has been kind in using the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net to help me with the various costs that I incur in running Catholic Sports Radio. Hers, too, was a great, great conversation. She's a coach at a college in Brooklyn, New York, if you didn't hear episode 155. Anyhow, she and I did exchange emails following my having received the notification of her having used the Donate to CSR button on the website, and I'm taking this opportunity to thank her publicly now. It really means so, so much to me when anyone makes a financial contribution. I know that as a casual listener, it might seem difficult to understand what cost could there be for Bruce in quote-unquote just doing a weekly show. And that's why I take every opportunity to be transparent and report on the air the various expenses that I do get challenged with. And I'm also honest enough to admit that they do unfortunately pose a challenge for me financially, especially since I don't get any income from doing this and I don't have any sponsors. But when someone contributes to this ministry, it also tells me that you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, that you recognize and appreciate the work that I'm doing, and that you want to see it continue and help people in their faith life. So do please consider supporting my efforts with a one-time contribution. As you heard me say with regards to Linda Simino, on CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a Donate to CSR button that makes it fast and easy for you to contribute securely online in any amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you're comfortable with. Do please prayerfully consider what you can do for this ministry in terms of financial support to help me offset the various costs that I have detailed over a number of episodes of this show, which I otherwise have to take out of my own pocket. Instead of doing it online, electronically, through the website, alternatively, as some folks have opted to do instead, you can get in touch with me through the contact section of CatholicSportsRadio.net to ask for the mailing address, and I will personally write you back with the details on where you can send a check. And I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes to this ministry, or as some have chosen to do, you can remain anonymous. I'm grateful to everyone who listens to the show and would most appreciate your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue to work to use this ministry to bring more people closer to Christ. Joey, in sports, they say that the game was officiated well when you don't know the name of who refereed the game. So getting back to where we were before that break, how does a game official successfully stick to the it's not about me mindset? Just like as Christians, we're all tasked with living our life that it's not about me, it's about him. And of course, I'm pointing up to heaven.
Awesome question. I work for a guy now in my current job is worked still with the NBA, but in development of referees. And my boss is a guy that I refereed with for 25 years. His name is Monty McCutcheon. Very deep guy. Monty has a, and I never thought of this. And when we were reffing together years ago, he used this line, but he uses it a lot now, that referees have to learn to serve the game.
Mm.
And I think sometimes as referees, you get caught up with serving yourself and how am I escalating in the career? Am I becoming, when you're most hired as a ref, it's a crew chief referee umpire. And then when you're hired as an umpire, am I doing my job or do I just want to be a crew chief?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're trying to get from the first round, and there's four rounds. Now you want to get to the first round. Am I serving the game or do I just want to get to the second round?
Mm.
Am I serving the game or I just want to get to the third round? And I think if I honestly look back at it, I was there. I wasn't serving the game. And then as you evolve, it starts to become you're taking, it's about the game, it's about the crew, and then it's about you. And if you can take it in that order, you can see that your career is getting better and better because you're putting yourself in the back burner.
Yeah.
To me, it's actually life, too, you know, where you're trying to be that better person and you're looking out for someone else instead of yourself.
That's right.
And you evolve. You evolve as a person. And I know myself, even at age 70, I still got to remind myself, hey, serve the game. And there's this, it's the same thing. It's serve the Lord. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really is. It's just in a different context. And I've learned a lot, but I learned a lot off of Monty McCutcheon and his saying of serve the game.
Yeah, and I like that expression because if you serve the game, then guess what's going to happen? Then you will get assigned to the first round of the playoffs. And if you serve the game, you will get assigned to the second round, and you'll get assigned to the conference finals, and you'll get assigned to the NBA finals just because you made sure your focus was on serving the game and not, hey, everybody, look at me, and boy, I sure want to be the one whose name they say got assigned to the conference finals or got assigned to the finals itself.
You said that better than me.
You do try to give back as much as possible, which in itself shows a great example of the mix of faith and sports, meaning not just being content with the career that God gave you in basketball and keeping to yourself. For starters, talk about Basketball Without Borders and the work that you've done with them internationally.
Well, you know, I'm fortunate my life with the NBA, and they have these, it's normally in the summertime, and they ask me if you want to go. And I've been to Serbia. I've been to Japan. I've been to China. And it's just fabulous, Bruce. It's just fabulous being able to get out in the world. And what we do in those, they have this great, it's a tremendous system, and it's basketball players, but we get the opportunity to go in there and try to teach their referees in their country what we do in the NBA. And we put on a video, it's just fabulous. My most favorite thing to do in a year is to go on one of those trips because I went to India and we were teaching the Indian refs. It was just fabulous.
Wow.
To be able to find a different way of communicating, teaching your craft, mingling with a different community. Those trips are really, really great. And thank you very much for asking about that, because my wife was allowed to go. So it was a great moment in our life being able to go to those places.
Beautiful, beautiful. And another outreach program that you were a part of was an initiative called Next Level Referee Training, which mirrored your desire to influence young referees in the same way that you had been mentored early in your career, learning from the best of the best. Can you talk about that work that you did through Next Level Referee Training?
Sure. At the time that I was doing, I can't do it now because it's a conflict with the position that I hold with the NBA. So what we did is we had a camp of referees. We published it. They could come from all over the country or the world. And we were running it in conjunction with Villanova University. And Jay Wright, the head coach of Villanova, awesome guy. He was supplying the games and we were supplying the refs. And it was Steve Javy, who's my best friend in the world, myself, Duke Callahan, Mark Wunderlich, Mark Lindsay, Aaron Smith. They were all NBA refs. And when you run these camps, a lot of times they're money makers, Bruce. And I'd always gotten my gut about the money aspect of making money off of refereeing. I didn't need the money. The NBA took very good care of me.
Mm-hmm.
So what we decided to do as a group is each referee, we were charging the referees, I think it was $375 $400, and they'd come in and we'd tape them. We'd go over their tapes while they're refereeing. And the money that we collected, we all had our own individual charities.
Mm.
And the charity, this is awesome, awesome, Bruce. Everybody would have maybe, say, a breast cancer or another type of cancer. My good friend was the women's basketball coach at Villanova. His name's Harry Peretta. He just retired last year. He coached there for 43 years.
Hmm.
Well, you may have seen the show. He had a player at his university. She was player of the year, and she was fabulous. I got her. Oh, my God. Oh, God, her name just went out of my head. Isn't that awful? What happened was is that she was fabulous. She was player of the year at Villanova. When she was done, there wasn't a WNBA back then.
Mm-hmm.
So she went to Japan to make some money playing basketball. She called Hallie one. She played there for 3-4 years, whatever it was. And she came. She called him. She said, "I'm coming back." He says, "What are you going to do?" "I don't know." So he picks her up at the airport. He's driving her to Virginia to go home. She said, "I decided what I'm going to do." He said, "What are you going to do?" "I'm going to be a cloistered nun."
Wow.
And she is still a cloistered nun.
Wow.
25 years. And ESPN did a special on it, I want to say 2 years ago. It's just awesome. Every time I watch it, I've watched it 3 or 4 times, I cry.
Mm.
And the money that I got out of that, and I guess it was 5, 6, 7 years we were doing it, I sent down to her convent in Virginia, where she's, and that was, to me, one of the greatest things I could ever do. Mm. And Harry Preda, he's on the list to be able to actually talk to her, Bruce. You know, you can't physically see her, but you do it through a, like you're going to confession.
Yeah.
and so every time he's going down there, he says, I'm going down to see her. He says, you want to give her some money? I said, of course I want to give her some money. I said, she's the closest thing to God that I know. I said, I want her to pray for me. I said, are you kidding me? Yeah. Mm. That was the greatest thing I got out of doing that camp at Villanova. It was fabulous.
That's terrific. Fabulous. That's terrific. And for the audience, you hear the giving back that Joey has done, yes, financially to this individual that he just talked about who became a cloistered nun. But moreover, as I said earlier, he was blessed with a career in officiating that he could have very well just been grateful to God for, but kept to himself. But instead, he's giving back through Basketball Without Borders. He gave back during the time when it wasn't a conflict for him to do it, through next level referee training, sharing the gifts and the talents that God gave him to help younger people. Some people would say, well, I don't want someone who I might groom and might take my job. Joey was very open in giving and passed his knowledge and his wisdom on to these referees in other countries and to the young up-and-comers, and then, as you just said, financially too. So that's the takeaway that I want you to hear, instead of getting caught up in why is Bruce asking him about referee training that he was doing. It's a giving back gesture, and it puts him in community with others. It doesn't necessarily have to be him sitting there and preaching the word or talking about his faith, but just being in community, when having that fellowship. You know, we've heard people like Steve Javy come on this show and talk about the brotherhood and the sisterhood that officials form with the others that they're on the court with. But this is another way that you can be in fellowship with other individuals without necessarily having to be in a church setting or in the setting of some event that's being put on by your local parish. So I'm going a long way here to make sure that you understand why I ask some of these questions that I do. And by the way, we're in the home stretch here, but I wonder, Joey, even though the referees are not supposed to get chummy with the players, were there NBA players who you could see on the court exhibited behavior that was very Christian-like, meaning good sportsmanship, respectful of the officials, respectful of their coaches, even their opponents?
Oh, yes, Bruce. I mean, I did it for 39 years, and our players, I have nothing but great things to say about them. I mean, in my job of officiating, there's conflict. And there's confrontation. But it's in the game. It's competition. At our level, this is about winning. It's about winning. And some players can take it too far. Hey, it's a ref, I took it too far sometimes. Mm. I wasn't proud of that. But the thing is that our guys, there are case after case after case of players giving millions of dollars to causes that are fabulous. I think what happens is that sometimes our players they peg them as being selfish, self-centered. We've all been there. I know I have too. But our guys, I honestly have nothing but the highest regard for our guys. And you know what's interesting with this is that you can, especially in the job that I have now, I get to arenas and I see old retired players mm-hmm. and old retired coaches. And the first thing we do is hug. And mm-hmm. we'll remember the time you threw me out. Or that's just competition. It really is. It's just competition. Some people take it too far. And again, I was one of those guys. I did take it too far on plenty of nights where I said something to a player I shouldn't have said. But on a whole, I have nothing but the highest regard for our players, and they're very, very giving people. I've been on forums and have been with players where we went to events where it was a give-back event, where you went and you were in the community and you were doing things, and again, I respect our players a lot. I really do.
Very nice. Very nice. And by the way, go back, listeners. I'm going to give you one more here. Episode 122, I interviewed Richie Adubato, who was both an NBA and a WNBA coach, but he told a story on that episode about Shaquille O'Neal, and not a player who was a Catholic, but still very Christian-like behavior that he witnessed Shaquille O'Neal exhibiting off the court. And as you're hearing here from Joey Crawford, it is very refreshing to hear these types of stories and the givebacks that the NBA players give in their local community or nationally or whatever it is. Joey, I'm excited to have you close this episode by not only sharing with the audience about your children and your grandchildren, but about the milestone that you and your wife will hit in March relative to when the two of you first entered the sacrament of holy matrimony.
Wow, thank you. I've done a lot of interviews and talked. That's awesome, Bruce. Thank you. You know what? My wife and I were kids together, and 13, 14 years old.
Hmm.
And we stayed, we got married. She was 19, I was 20. And as we went along, she knew exactly what I wanted to do. The reason I respect her so much is that her religion means everything to her. And she and Steve Jazzy are probably, my wife and Steve are probably the reasons why I'm a halfway decent Catholic. I need to be better, but we were lucky. We stayed together. I almost screwed this up a couple times, our marriage, but she was such a loving person that we stayed, and we loved one another, and we produced three daughters. And my wife, she's so happy with this one thing. They went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, and Catholic colleges. So that's one of her, she's so proud of. And then we have 10 grandkids.
Hmm.
And our family is fabulous. And I hate to say that is that word, very diverse. A very diverse family. My two of my daughters married African Americans, so we have 7 African American grandchildren, and you're learning constantly about a different culture, different things that people do, and it's been really, really a terrific life, and. We go away, we all kid one another. We'll try to have a family vacation every year. And my son-in-laws will always make a joke about what happens when we all get together because there's different skin tones. and it's just a fabulous existence. You have these parties where it's just their events. And I've been very lucky and blessed that my wife was such a loving person, and she's just been everything to me ever since we were kids. So life has been good to me, Bruce. Life has been really, really good to me.
And so in March.
Oh, I'm sorry. March 3rd, we'll be married 50 years.
Outstanding.
Yeah, like I said, I tried to screw it up a couple times, but actually yesterday we were talking about what we were going to do. I'm just happy that we're, safe and healthy, and everybody else in the family safe and healthy. So,
amen.
We'll just worry about that on March 3rd. But Bruce, thank you very much for letting me do that. I don't think I ever did that before, where I actually said those kind words.
Well, it's my pleasure, and it's part of recognizing the sanctity of the sacrament of holy matrimony. And I'm going to ask the audience, do make sure that you send up prayers for Joe and his wife Mary. As you heard, March 3rd will be 50 years. But Joey, in the meantime, so great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your wife and your entire family.
And thank you very much for having me, Bruce. And thank you very much for the prayers, everybody. Thank you.
You bet. Listeners, we're going to close with our sportsman's prayer. And let's do this together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose. We'll be right back.